Good morning. So good to be with you again. As was told earlier, I've been preaching at Little Kansas off and on here in the last couple of weeks. It's definitely good to be here and worshiping with you. This is home. This has always been home. And we appreciate the opportunity that we've had to be home from Brown Trail. The 2 years that we were there, we thank you so much for your support and the prayers that have gone our way. We love you very much, and it's good to be with you. This morning's lesson comes from Psalm 42. Psalm 42, verses 1 and 2. And I'll be reading out of the New American Standard. As deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? This morning, we're going to talk about panting for God. About panting for God. We will see, what it takes to pant for God. And also, we'll see how to thirst for God in the second part of this lesson. What does it mean to pant for God? What does it mean to pant? And we just read Psalm 42:1. Well, Webster's Dictionary says to long, to desire, to ardently desire. Do we desire, or do we long for God as the deer pants for water? The deer panting for water. Do we have that same want? He's thirsty, he drinks. He wants to drink, he's very thirsty. Do we pant for God the same way? Do we have the same desire? Think of desire. Desire is an emotion or an excitement of the mind. In Genesis chapter 6, we read of Noah and the account of Noah. And, Noah had the desire to serve God. He had a desire because you think about the ark that was mentioned there. And I love the account because it is very detailed on how he was to build the ark. If he would have used other dimensions or other figures, it would not have been what God had wanted. But God told Noah how to build the ark. What wonderful obedience Noah had. And as you think about it, Noah, as he was building this ark, you know that people had to see this ark being built. And how awful, though, it is that, they had to have known the flood was coming, but only 8 souls were saved. But Noah had that desire to serve God. Do we have that same desire, that same want? I think of another example, Paul. Paul desired to serve God as well. If you would, turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, and we're going to look at verses 7 and 8. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. This was at the end of Paul's life. He had given everything he had to God. Now, we understand that Paul didn't always do this. He had to do a roundabout change. He changed his life at one juncture in his life. He turned it around and did and was one of the strongest examples for us today. Paul did what he was capable of doing. He was an example to us. He fought the good fight, though, and he finished the course. Paul, he desired to serve. He desired to serve God. Another name I might mention is David. David was a man after God's own heart. But David, he messed up. you know, and him and Bathsheba, the account of him and Bathsheba. We see so many wrongs there. But he, in turn, later on, he tried to do what was right. But we know that David, he was after God's heart. God is after our heart. Do we have that want for God? You know, God, if he wants us, do we have that same want for him? You know, another name that I might mention, Peter. And this right here, Peter had good intentions. If you would, turn with me to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, and we're going to look at verses 27 through 31. Matthew chapter 14, 27 through 31. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." Verse 28, Peter said to him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became frightened, beginning to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand, took hold of him, and said to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" You know, this wasn't the first time that Peter doubted. Peter had a problem with he had a faith problem. You know, he denied Christ. Not once, not twice, but he denied Christ three times. Peter had a problem, you know, but he always tried to do what was right. He had the same want. His intentions were good. But like I said, are we like Peter in a sense? Do we falter at times? You know, do we have that want? Are our intentions good? They need to be good. We have to act on these intentions, though. It's easy to have intentions if they're good, but we have to act. We have to act. What does it mean to thirst for God? What does it mean to thirst for God? Well, it's a painful sensation of the throat, occasioned by the want of a drink, Webster's Dictionary tells us. Are we thirsty for God? Do we thirst for God as we should? Are we thirsty for His Word? Or do we read our Bibles as we should? You know, each and every day, you know, we think of, you know, it's easy to come to services when we're called to and be with Christians. But we tend to forget that we live Christian lives each and every day. Are we being those examples that God wants us to be in everything that we do? I hope that we are. We strive to. And in our daily walk, you know, we think about our walk with one another. Are we treating each other the way we should be treating each other? Are we saying the things that we need to say to each other? You know, we sometimes fall short in so many ways. But we know that our intentions are always good, but we need to strive to do better. We can do better. But are we thirsty for His Word? You know, we need to read our Bibles each and every day. You know, if you would, turn with me to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, verse 11. And this is talking about the Bereans. Acts 17, verse 11. Bible reads, "Now these were noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so." Are we examining scriptures daily? You know, every time we pick up the Bible, we can learn something each and every time. No matter how many times we've read through the Bible, there's always something that we can pick out. Something of importance that will help us in our daily walk with God. But are we thirsting for God? Do we have that same thirstiness? But we need to be reading the Scriptures daily. We need to have an eagerness, an excitement about God. It's easy to sit here and say that we proclaim God and we love God, but do we love Him in our actions, our daily actions? Are we doing those things that we ought to be doing? Whether we're at a ball game, whether we're at work, can people see Christ in us? Can they see Christ in us? And I would hope there would be an emphatic yes. But we need to be students of the Bible. We need to read our Bibles each and every day. That, the Bereans' attitude, that is the thirstiness that we need to have for God's Word. They were eager for God's Word. We need to have that same eagerness. You know, you think about the church at Ephesus. Let's turn to Revelation 2. Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2, and let's look at verse 4. Actually, let's start in verse 2 through 4. Revelation chapter 2, verses 2 through 4. I know your deeds and your toil and your perseverance, and that you cannot tolerate evil men. And you put to the test those who call themselves apostles, and they are not, and you found them to be false. And you have perseverance and have endured for my name's sake, and have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you have left your first love. We know, we understand that we can leave that first love, and that first love is God. You know, God loves us so much that He gave His only, one and only Son for us. Do we love Him the same today? Do we have that same love for God? Are we thirsty for God's Word? But the church at Ephesus left their first love. That can happen. How can we thirst for God? How can we thirst for God today? Well, number one, by reading our Bibles. By reading our Bibles. Studying our Bibles. If you would, turn with me to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. Of course, this is talking to Timothy, but this also can go for us as well. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. Bible reads, "Let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity. Show yourself an example of those who believe." Show yourself an example. We need to be that example each and every day. Just because we can read our Bibles, we need to. We study our Bibles, we read them, and we need to obey the Bible, obey His Word, each and every command. You know, prayer is an important thing that we must have. We are to pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17. We need to pray for one another. Pray for one another. If you would, turn over to James chapter 5. James chapter 5 and verse 16. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. The effective prayer of a righteous man. Are we practicing righteousness? We should. We need to pray for one another. We need to serve one another. If you would, turn over to Galatians. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13. The Bible reads, "For you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." We must serve one another. This proves that we have the love of God. It proves that we have the love of God in us. And then also, if you would, turn over a chapter, Galatians 6, verse 10. Galatians 6 and verse 10. The Bible reads, "So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of the faith." We are to do good to all. And that is how much love we have for God. People see this love that we have for God as we serve one another, as we do good to all. We should have the attitude of Joshua. Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15. You know, if you would, turn over there. Turn over to Joshua. Joshua 24 and verse 15. "If it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." That is the type of attitude that we need to have as we strive to do God's will. We do God's will because we love God. We love and we serve a mighty God. He loves us, and He in return deserves that type of love. The same love that He gives to us, He deserves it. But we should serve the Lord. That is the choice that we need to make, that we serve the Lord. And notice the examples that I used earlier. They had the same choice you and I have today, whether serve man or serve God. And I believe today that we need to make that choice who we're going to serve. And we need to serve the Lord. But we need to serve Him. As we talked in class this morning, we need to serve Him with a whole heart. If we do things half-hearted, that's not going to do us any good. We need to serve Him with a whole heart. He wants our hearts. He wants all of it, not just half of it, not just a quarter of it. He wants all of it. And if we give Him our hearts, then we do as we are commanded to do. We love Him with everything. Today, hopefully I've said something that might be a benefit to you and speak to your heart. The lesson is yours this morning. If you haven't become a Christian and would like to, haven't ever put on Christ in baptism, or if you are a Christian and have faltered in any way, well, now's your time to make your way forward as we stand and sing the invitation.